With Colorado Public Radio News, I'm Bob Laffley. The new documentary, The Central Park Five, is about a miscarriage of justice. For Colorado Public Radio film critic Howie Mofshevitz, it's a fine work, but only part of what a documentary film can be.
On April 19, 1989, a woman jogging in New York Central Park was raped and nearly killed. The brutality of the attack shocked the city. Five teenage boys went to prison for the crime. The woman was white, the boys were black, and all the racial conflicts of the time came into play. The boys were called wolves and animals. The word wilding, meaning young black men running amok, came into the vocabulary of race hostilities. The boys had confessed, and even many black people in New York and elsewhere believed that the boys had done it. But they didn't, and the story of the case and its aftermath is the subject of The Central Park Five by Ken Burns, David McMahon, and Sarah Burns. As film journalism, The Central Park Five is impeccable work. It's clear and precise, the narrative sequence makes good sense, and the movie gives the event the kind of rich historical and social context that you need to understand what happened. In 1989, New York was a dangerous city. It stood on the brink of financial bankruptcy and social collapse. Just the look of the city, the garbage, the graffiti, and the visible rot showed the character of the place. The five boys, Antron McCray, Kevin Richardson, Yusef Salam, Corey Wise, and Raymond Santana, were not angels, and they weren't criminals either. But they were in the park that night. They were arrested, and then the cops went to work. As the movie shows, the confessions were contrived by the police, who got scared young kids to mouth them because they thought that they could then go home. No real evidence pointed to them, and even the DNA collected from the victim did not come from any of the boys. As several commentators say in the movie, though, confessions trump evidence. The story fits the old pattern. If a white woman's raped and a black man is accused, he's automatically guilty, and it's worse than white-on-white rape. In the movies, the story goes back well before To Kill a Mockingbird, all the way to 1915 and D.W. Griffith's The Birth of a Nation. In life, of course, the stories of black men lynched for imagined sexual actions or even thoughts is centuries old. The story of race in America is also the great theme of Ken Burns, here working with his friend David McMahon and his daughter Sarah Burns. But The Central Park Five is no Ken Burns film. People joke about Ken Burns' movies largely because he's so successful, but also because there's a sameness to his documentary style. There's even a Ken Burns effect available in digital editing programs that imitates the ways Burns moves his camera over old photographs. But Ken Burns has a remarkable understanding of the meaning and implications of old photographs, as well as of new moving visual images, and none of that shows up here. For all its superior organization and comprehensive information, The Central Park Five is not a distinguished film. It could easily be an article, a terrific, wonderfully researched and presented article in a magazine like The New Yorker, but not a great film. The movie uses the visual image mostly to illustrate what people say. The image is secondary to the spoken text. Someone mentions a place and the film shows the place. The film shows the crime scene. It shows aerial shots of New York City and the prosecutors and defendants coming in and out of court. Not once does the visual image carry the meaning of something or the implications or show something beyond words. The Central Park Five doesn't need to be a film, and that's what a film needs, if you're making a film. I'm Howie Mofshevitz.
Colorado Public Radio film critic Howie Mofshevitz is director of film education at the University of Colorado Denver's College of Arts and Media.